Hi, I'm Yasin Bonds.
I'm Shadley Tesai.
I am Brad.
I'm Saeed.
And this is the Coffee and Gatarello podcast. Good day, away, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or whenever you listen to this damn thing. So, this is episode 22, which is a big deal to have done this for so long. What happened in the last week, Saeed?
Comic-Con, and also, most importantly, I started watching X-Men.
Whoa. Yes, we've been saying this damn thing.
Also. I wanted to wait until it was all done, but then I couldn't. And then now I have to wait for this last two episodes.
It's horrible.
I'm suffering, bro. Like, I'm watching, like, random people react to the stuff on YouTube because I just want to see more about this.
It is so good. They've written it in... I feel like it's people who watch the show. It's us.
Yeah.
It feels like we, like our world wrote that show with the depth of the modern world and I'll say the past of X-Men as well.
Yeah. The showrunner, Bo DeMeo, like, I don't want to say shout out because I don't know why he was fired yet. So I'm not going to give him props because I don't know. I don't know how crazy.
We've seen Nickelodeon.
Yeah. But if you check his tweets and stuff like that, he 100% gets it. Like, he gives out homework every week before the episodes. He's like, yo, you should read this. Watch this episode. And then it gives you like you get more of an understanding of why things are happening. And like, he explains, like, he likes it. I might be wrong, but like, what I gathered is that he relates a lot to the X-Men story because I think he was adopted or something. So that found family aspect of it is really important. And you can see how much he relates to... Like how much he relates to the characters and the stories of X-Men. Mm. So it just...
Was he the writer?
He's like the main writer and he's like the showrunner.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's running the whole show.
Yeah. So that's why people are begging him to come, begging him to find a way to get him back just because...
No, he's killing it. He killed it. Like,
I don't see anybody else being able to...
To do it as well as that.
Yeah.
Then
he understood the assignment.
Did you watch the show?
I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, it's so
just wait. Yeah. Please wait.
I'm waiting. I want to binge it. But I did start watching X-Men like OG. And doesn't hold up. It just doesn't hold up. Unfortunately,
what doesn't hold up? Story or graphics or
stories? Okay. Like, I just watched the first episode where like Jubilee gets her powers and it's very much very similar to the first X-Men movie. Like, her parents ostracize her, but then that huge like Sentinel comes and tries to grab her through the window.
Yeah.
But like, that stuff's just janky as hell. But like, I mean, it's 30 years old, you know?
And it's also like,
don't say it like
that. I feel like so much of our world is already based on that we can't go back to see the origin
exactly. It's like gaming, like the retro games as well, like we've spoken about, like leave it in the past kind of thing. And there's also those things where I actually wanted to have ad breaks now. I want to see ad breaks because like the Sentinel breaks through the house and then it fades to black, which is obviously meant for the ad break, but then it fades back in on like the streaming services and then he's doing it again. So like, I almost wanted like an ad break when it fades to black just to give me that proper retro.
Don't give Disney ideas, man.
Exactly. Disney will bring ads.
Don't give Disney ideas.
They'll be like, are now going to add ads to your show.
Thanks to Brad.
This ad was brought to you by Brad.
Yes, I'm the reason Disney became evil.
On that note, as the note of evil, I think it's the sixth or seventh episode where there feels like a very, there's a very Palestine trip in the thing. Like, I watch it going, this feels very real, very current.
It's very coded.
It feels coded as fuck. But also that thing of, essentially, X-Men is written in the world of politics.
It's always been like, anybody who denies that is like, kind of missing the whole point of what X-Men is.
What's I going to say? X-Men Fire. If you haven't watched it, just go watch it. Treat yourself.
If you enjoyed the show as a lighty, you are going to love the show.
And if you don't have Disney, just stream it. If you boycotting Disney, it's fine.
Allegedly.
Also, I just want to say, I'm watching the completely made up adventures of Dick Turpin. It's Snow Fielding's show. It's basically but it's set like in like, olden times.
Oh, nice.
Like, he's a highwayman. He's like trying to like, but he's a terrible highwayman. He's basically like, he is in everything. Yeah. Like, he's set like in
that's cool.
Time period. And he's just making like, it's so funny. Like, if you like his stuff, if you like the Bush, you'll love it. I'm still waiting for Julian to show up, but like,
oh, yeah.
Eventually.
I feel like there's
going to be a cameo.
They must give him something, but
I love also when shows go fetch their friends to come be in it.
And obviously, and if you know his stuff, his friends are like, his brother is always in everything. Like he is there for
it's
his,
like the
for his
family.
People.
They just work together all the time.
Yeah. Like he comes with me.
Yeah. Also, I'm trying to like Fallout, but I can't. There's something about the show that I just...
I'm really surprised.
The world's first hater. We found
There's something like...
I'm waiting for that show to be done before I watch it, actually.
It is done.
Is it?
It all came out the same. It's the one. That,
okay, like, no, so then I can sort it. Then
there's something about it that just isn't... I don't know, man. I think the main reason I don't like it is because it makes me want to play the game. So it's like... I don't want to watch this. Like when I put it on, I'm like, I could just be playing New Vegas instead of watching this. Why am I watching this? And then...
Fair enough.
I feel like you're too close to the experiment.
You know what it feels like? It feels like when you know, like when you watch a movie, and like a player or a TV show or something, like if you like Law and Order, they talk about like soccer or something. It's like,
play soccer.
No, it's like this. It's like they have the idea. It's like they have the spirit there of wanting to talk about soccer and represent it in the show. But it's something that's it's like also like in Ted Lasso, like the soccer scenes is like, you guys know what's happening.
Yeah.
But they still, it doesn't feel like how I necessarily want it to feel.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying the show is bad, but I just can't get into it.
It's not challenging for you.
I'm struggling to get through it. I'm on episode 4 now and I'm just like, I don't want to watch it.
And you, Brad? Okay.
So I've been digging into like the classics catalog on PS5.
Nice.
So I downloaded Tekken 2. And
does not hold up.
The jank is real.
It does not hold up.
It's fun to play through, but like it's so limited, obviously. But like I always used to play as Jack too.
Yeah.
Yeah, not Jack off. And then I knew you were gonna say something. And like there's only just the one move of like the three hit like things, or you duck and uppercut, like, and then you get to the end, and then there's just a very random what used to be a good looking cutscene.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
And then it's just done now. You know what I mean? And it like, so it was nice to get back into Tekken 2, but one and done kind of thing.
I feel like it's also a game you play for 2-3 hours.
Yeah.
Not even.
I just did one playthrough with Jack and then I'm like, I've had it. And then I also downloaded Oddworld.
How much are the games on?
Free. That's on the PS Plus Classics.
Oh, okay.
That's what's so quiet about it. You miss a game, try it out, realize, okay, I should leave it.
How much makes is it?
it's upscaled for PS5, so it's like 2 gigs. Yeah.
Ooh.
I know.
But it's also wild that...
It's upscaled.
No, but GTA on my phone is bigger than that.
That's crazy. But I bought Peggle last night. I told you guys it's on special.
Oh, yeah.
It's like 13 megabytes. I was like, what? I was like, how can the game be 13 megabytes? It doesn't even make sense.
Also, why is there no phone version of it? That's the other thing. The one on the phone is like, it's like, not the liquor one.
I thought it's bigger than that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Literally. And then I got Oddworld New and Tasty, which is a complete ground up remake of Abe's Odyssey.
Yeah.
And I'm really having fun with it. It's really, really cool. Because like it just fixes a lot of the jank from PS1, obviously, where, you know, like, did you guys ever play it?
Yes.
I watched somebody play it.
So you'd like go from like...
Same. We will cut to an ad break where I must go watch more games that Shad is going to play.
Ads was brought to you by Brad, yeah.
But like on the PS1, you'd like run, you know, it's basically like a right to left to right, like running thing.
Side scroller with puzzles.
Yeah. And then you would go into the next like scene, but then if you go back to the previous scene, the people, the enemies you had defeated or whatever
are back
or it like kind of resets that previous scene, whereas this one is just like one continuous flow, which is a lot of fun. And the fart button's still there, which is good.
Nice. Small but great thing.
And then I also downloaded like a new modern-ish game, but that's what I want to talk about in today's show and tell episode, so I'll leave it for that. So yeah.
Ooh.
For me, so I finally started playing Resident Evil 4 remake, and yeah, that game is fucking great. Like, but I also got something else. I got another Crab's Treasure. I ended up buying it. And
Your description of that.
It's called Herpes, guys. Come on.
So it's Dark Souls but meet SpongeBob. That's the best way I can describe it. But
what
for you,
interesting
I would
fusion.
Say, I'd say the interesting thing for you is like, it has a difficulty slider.
Okay, good.
So you can like set it to like story mode and you can just run through
Can you change the difficulty mid-game?
Yeah, probably.
I haven't checked if you can.
Because I like when you can do that also. Because sometimes if I'm butting, let me go back. It's too easy. Let me just
it
up.
It goes, so it's set to hard, but then it goes to easy. Okay. And then it goes to story, which is even easier.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
And the story is hilarious because you play as a hermit crab who has to pay tax. And then they steal his shell. And he's just like going to the kingdom underwater because he's like, hey, yo, like,
I'm homeless.
I only earn this much money.
Platform is it?
It's on all modern. It's on PC, Xbox Series X,
Switch,
PS5. I don't know if it's on Switch.
Switch is coming back soon. I'm very excited to get my Switch back also, but it's another story.
It's such like a silly fight. You run around with a fork. Your weapon is a fork. And you use soda cans as shells and stuff. It's hilarious.
Is it difficult?
It's hard. It's not as hard as Dark Souls, but it's hard. Also, like when you kill enemies, you pick up microplastics. That's like the kind of I go like, nice. It's small touches like that. It's fucking
video
so game. Fun.
Video games have gone woke.
But see, guys, dump more pollution in the ocean. It's money for someone. Okay, someone is benefiting from these things.
But it's just fun. It's like it's not taking itself too seriously. And I'm having a great time, so go and drink it.
When you die, does it give you option to... Does it do that God of War, like, humiliating thing where it asks you, do you want to make it easier?
No, okay. It doesn't do that.
Does God of War do that?
Yeah.
Only if you die... I think if you die, like, 5 times in a row in the same section.
Oh, so they know
it. It was, like, the last fight in God of War 2. That thing kept popping up, and I was just like...
Did you not go down?
I never finished that game, bro. Yeah, well, because I didn't want to go down, but I was like...
It's more insulting when they ask you, do you want to... It's like, yeah. No, fuck you. Don't condescend on...
Guys, it's fine to go to standard grade, okay? Not everybody can pass on higher grade on the first time.
I did that in God of War 2018. On the one boss fight that I just couldn't get through. Sigrun, okay. Of course.
I understand that.
That
doesn't count.
No. That was my last step to get to platinum the game.
Oh.
And I was just like, let me just get through this because I just could not do it. I could not do it.
Winners
I felt like
stop.
A bitch though. Like yeah. I really did.
You know, you also don't tell anybody now. This is the first time.
This is the first time it's come out since 2018 that I did clean. That.
I'll tell you one thing funny about that is like, they make it easy to get it down to like a quarter of a health.
Yeah.
And then what you don't know is that she actually gets buffed, so you do like less damage. Oh. So you actually struggle in that last quarter.
So they're supposed to...
Yeah, they make it harder. They're like...
Did you finish it?
Yeah, I finished
it. Normal difficulty. Did you have to lower it?
No, I played it on the hardest one.
No. We just understood the rank of our entire group right now.
You should have made your friends watch you more when you were in chat.
He actually got our powers. Like, we were all...
I was like Goku.
Spirit bombing this whole thing. While you were doing Jaeger bombs, Shadley was doing spirit bombs. In this last week was quite busy for me. So I've been playing... basic games on my phone. The one was from the Netflix store as Word Trails. It's one of those, you just link the words. I know it's you guys were playing real stuff. This is what I was doing. And then, it's one of those basic phone game, but it caught me for hours. That shit has me. Nice. Yo, that's my crack. Because the thing is, you can play that anyway. If I stand in a line, I can play. I can play and not dedicate like time to go, I must play now, put it away.
Yeah.
I don't feel like, I'm dedicated. Yeah. And then I also played 8-Ball, which is also, I've just been playing phone games actually, because
you're on the go also like a lot. So
yeah, I haven't been playing like with the Switch because it's away, but also with the...
Switch is on holiday.
Yeah.
It's switched off.
What's the other one that I have?
Ambernic?
The Ambernic, yeah.
Yeah.
That I didn't even charge because that also felt like it was too far away from me. And it was on the shelf. I didn't, if you've ever had it, where you go, I don't feel like moving from this couch. No. I'm just going to play games here.
That's happened to me. I'm like laying on the couch and the Switch is inside. And I'm like I'm just going to sit on my phone.
Can I just quickly on that note, that unlocked a memory of the first time I got an Xbox 360. And obviously I went from PS2 to 360. So this is the next generation. And I'm like, I wonder if you can turn the console off from bed with a wireless controller. And I held in the Xbox button and I could. And I'm like, this is the biggest game changer of all game changers. I could turn the console off and on without getting out of the bed.
That's too much. To quote Kanye West, no one man should have all that power.
I agree.
Well, also, there was in one of the comments, and I think we spoke about it, where someone was saying that the difference between retro and modern is a cable controller.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a fair assessment.
Yeah. And that's so. What's it? Is that 2 to 3?
Yeah, PS2 to PS3 was wireless.
Yeah,
you could get a wireless PS2, but I think that didn't work so.
It wasn't like first party either.
Yeah. And it was it was all.
And then you needed like that dongle that you put in the PS2.
You can't turn it on or so. So again, PS 360 and PS3 was not was retro. It's not retro. PS2 retro and below.
True.
So I've just been playing mindless games, and then also Pool, which is also a mindless pool game that you play on your phone online.
Yeah, I've seen downloads, all those games that are ads.
I fall for the ads all the fucking time.
Yeah, no. He goes like, let me just see. Maybe it is.
So now we go to today's actual episode, which is the show and tell.
Sorry, can I just, an important bit of news.
Okay, go for it.
I was looking for the soccer game. I mentioned it on an episode, I don't know when, but I was trying to explain it to you guys where it's like small manatees. You have to you can like tackle each other like dangerously and like do moves and stuff. Yesterday I was watching a random Braz vlog while I was eating, and he paused on like a Famicom. He was in Japan, and he paused on like while going through a shelf on like some random Famicom thing, and I saw this Manichi looks familiar like in the video, and then I took a photo. I had to like do Google Lens to find out what that was, and I found out what the game was. It's called Kunio Kuno Neketsu Soccer League. So it's this guy.
Oh,
so like you are like encouraged. There's also a dodgeball version of it, and like other stuff, and it's like you encouraged to like tackle the people poorly and do moves on them and stuff. I don't know how I got that, because like I don't know where it came from. Like I
did you have it on TV game?
I played it on TV game, but I have no clue where I would have gotten it, because like that's not on the, that wasn't on the standard like 101. You know what I mean? Because there is a NES version.
Which neighbor or cousin gave it to you?
I don't know. These things like, that just appeared in
but
your house.
I only had it once. So that means like somebody either borrowed it to me or I genuinely still don't know, but I need to see if it's on the end when it goes in. I will
cue the X-Files music.
Yeah. Then, did you guys ever buy a TV game?
Yes.
How many games did you buy?
I remember going to Impact Wholesalers in Gatesville.
They
had one that was a Pokemon cartridge. Remember, keep in mind, I'm like six. I see my cousin.
2004, by the way.
I see my cousin playing like the Pokemon like Game Boy games on his computer. Yeah. In my mind, it's the same game.
Yeah,
it's Pikachu on the cover. I'm thinking, okay, I'm gonna have Pokemon Blue. I get home. You know that...
you must blew the cartridge. That's what was happening there.
You know that there was a standard game where they just replaced like the sprites.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. It was just a normal platformer with Pikachu in it. I was so upset. I also bought a Dragon Ball Z game. There was also a Dragon Ball Z game.
You fell twice.
But that was a fighting game. And it was, you could actually...
I remember that one.
It was like a fighting game. That was the only two I remember buying. It was like 20 rand at the time.
Yeah.
Because I remember you could walk into the store in Gatesville, and then they had that... In the counter, you could look at all of it. And then you just choose like that. That's what I remember.
I think I only bought like one cartridge, and then cartridges just moved between Brasser of like, this bro, I live 3 roads down. I'm going to take a hook to his house. We're going to swap cartridges.
Because you go like, okay, I have this, you have that.
But the bartering system was, it's a 10-in-1. And if you have a 20-in-1, then I must give you 2 cartridges. But if you come with 1,000, that's too much. You're lying. It's repeats. Mm-hmm. I don't trust any of the games. So I just remember, like, I think I bought only like 1 or 2. Did you ever buy games?
I honestly can't remember. I really, really can't. But I must have.
Yeah, those things just appeared. All the cousins just was like, yeah, here's a game. Shelly, you bought that, feel like.
I didn't start on TV game, like,
Sega boys.
Sega. I had to wait. They were like, no TV game. But then I got the Sega.
Did you have an 8-bit?
I didn't have an 8-bit. 16. That's the thing.
Yo.
Like, I jumped to 16.
There's only children. Today we're doing show and tell, where we all discuss a thing we enjoy. Said, what did you bring for us today?
Do you want to go first?
Yeah.
Okay. So
I'm just always going in this order. I feel like this is just makes to figure out the
this
order.
This is the rotation.
For people listening, Yasin is talking about, what is this?
Anti-counterclockwise.
So my thing is not a game. It's a graphic novel. I'm going to talk about it. Because I figured like this is all just about nerd stuff anyway. So I don't know if you guys have read Day Tripper.
Never even heard of it.
So it's my favorite graphic novel. Graphic novel, comic book, anything in that kind of style. I would put it like the only thing I think for me close to it is like All-Star Superman, like just in terms of like how much I like it. But yeah, so Day Tripper came out 2010. It's written by a set of, I think they're twins. Well, they just look similar, but they are brothers. They are definitely brothers, but I think they're twins, Gabriel Ba and Fabio Moon. I don't know why they have different surnames, but yeah. So when this thing came out, it went like the trade paperback. So that's the deluxe version that mm-hmm. I have. But the trade paperback came out 2010. It went, or 2011, sorry. It went straight to the top of New York Times, like graphic novel charts. It stayed there for quite a bit. It's also ended up being like college reading level at some places in America where it's like intro to like
graphic.
That is like a medium. It's won a few awards. I'm first going through like the background of it before why I like it. It won like best limited series or story arc, the Eisner Award. So that's like the highest award you can win like as a graphic novel or comic book.
Oh, yo.
At one like best single issue or story also for Harvey Awards, best new comic book. It's won quite a lot. The reason I like it, or I love it also, like I don't know if you guys have ever looked at it, you've seen the artwork, it's all watercolor based. It's just, I love watercolors like just as a medium. I think that they just always look really nice and they're soft to look at. It's like you don't get tired of looking at the artwork. So the reason I love Day Tripper, like the main thing about it is it follows the story. Also, the bra's name is spelled Bras, right? It's set in Brazil. It's Portuguese. Okay. I didn't know it was Brash until like for the longest time. I was told the bra's name. I thought his name was Bras.
Bras.
But like I didn't know that.
He is the Bras.
But so basically Brash is, he writes obituaries for a living. That's like his job. He wanted to be a writer, but he ended up doing obituaries, whatever.
Damn.
The premise of this thing is basically that throughout your life, we all have so many moments where you could have died, right? So it's not a spoiler to say he dies in every issue, but it's not a supernatural thing. It's just like
a death.
It's just like it's a death. So like there's one moment. It's also not a spoiler because like the fact that he dies and how he dies isn't the point of the book. It's like it's about just him learning about life and himself. And it's like it's a book that you like. I hate when people use the word deep because I feel like a lot like that's lost a lot of meaning.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
but it is deep.
It has depth to it.
Yeah, and it's got like a lot of moments where you like they will like leave you thinking about like when you finish this. For me at least, I felt like I just took a moment and I thought about like what I read. And it's also one of those things where I had to read it in one go because it's not like there's not suspense in it, but it keeps you interested in what's the next, like, cause he's different ages. So like there's one where he's a child and he dies, he's left unsupervised. And you know,
in the episode does he die? Is it always at the end?
It's always at the end.
Oh, okay.
So then there's also one where like the first issue, for example, you don't know that, like, obviously if you get the trade paperback, you will know because it's blurb that it's about him dying. But like in the first one, he is like, I think he's going to like an award thing for like one of his kids or something. And he's just getting a drink in the bar and somebody robs the bar and he dies. And then the story is like, if you died at all those moments in your life when you could have died, what would your obituary have said about you? Like, what would your life, what would your legacy have been? Like it's like really interesting because like in everybody's life, there's moments where you were to not being there anymore. And that's just, I love it. I love the book because I think that they really did something special with it. The artwork is amazing. It's set in Brazil for the most part. So it's also, they according to like what I've read, like from people who actually live in Brazil, like it's very accurate, like, because the brothers are Brazilian also. So it doesn't feel like they were like just trying to be different and sitting in Brazil. It's actually like they got to give a part of like the places that they love in it. And it's like, it's about everything in your life. You know what I mean? So that's my thing. Really, if you should read it, you should buy it.
Do you think they could make a cartoon version of it? Like, you know, the Animatrix?
Yeah.
You know, Animatrix did that thing. Do you think they could do that with this?
I would love them to do it. Like, they could do it live action even. But I think, like, because I think that the artwork that it comes from, like, you would need to be, like, the people who make it would have to be really skilled, I think, in translating, like, the... like
that
the
feel,
the feel and the colors and stuff. Because like, I'll show you guys afterwards. Like, there's like one panel in here that I really, really love, where he's like in the water swimming, and it just looks so amazing. And I think like, especially now with how all TV shows and stuff are like unnecessarily dark.
Yeah.
Like just like lighting wise. I mean, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like like if you had somebody who's like good at like doing something like really like, you know,
bright
and like. Like, honestly, like, if I could, and I would be like, yo, I would tell Terrence Malick to do this thing.
Like, I feel high saturation.
I feel like you would be able to do, like...
I feel like the people that worked on Spider-Man could have whoever did...
Because, like, they have the obviously, like, because they do all the different styles. Yes, so, like, but this would fit, like, in, like, that world with, like, Gwen.
Yes, I was about to say, Gwen, no, because they use like soft pastels.
Pastels. Yeah, it's that dreamy, like...
Yeah. And like the watercolors, I think, just really leads into the whole fact that like this is supposed to be like a reflective kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And this got me back into graphic novels. I read this, like, I think I was in matric when I read this. And
Where did you find it?
I literally one day I just searched like best comics Reddit, and then this was like one of the things that popped up, and I was like, it sounds interesting. Let me read it. And then I read the first issue online, and then I read all of it like that same night, and then I was like, okay, I liked it so much, I'm going to go buy it. And for me, that's like the measure of how much do you like it.
To take something from the internet to the real world.
Like you've already gotten everything out of it. Yeah, and then this is like just like the deluxe edition that they released like later. So it's the normal one isn't like hardcover. Mm. It's like, it doesn't have, like the quality of the pages isn't as nice. It's a bit smaller. So like this... I would definitely recommend this to anybody.
Day Tripper Bar.
I'm sold.
Gabriel Bar and Fabio Moon.
Yeah, I feel like all of us at the moment of like, oh shit, we can buy into that.
Going to Canal Walk later. I might see if Cosmic Comics has it.
I spoke to the Bar about it. Because they have, remember when I told you, like, when you go there, you must be prepared to like have people speak. And then eventually I got the word in and I was like, yeah, I like this one. And then I was there for another 15 minutes. But like,
of course.
Yeah.
Nice.
Brad, or do you have to for a show and a tell?
So unfortunately, don't have anything physical for a show and tell. It's a game that I recently installed, a game that I've been wanting to play for a long time. It actually came out in 2019. I've been wanting to play it since I had my PS4, actually. But so it's Control by Remedy Entertainment.
Oh, yes.
And like so the only Remedy games, honestly, that I've played have been Max Payne. And obviously, I love those games, and we've spoken about it in the past. And I just love, I put the word out on Twitter, actually. I want to play like a good narrative game. I don't feel like full on action all the time. Or I don't feel like puzzle solving. I just want a nice bit of narrative. Story. Yeah. And actually, then no one actually responded to this, but I thought Control. It's on PlayStation Plus. That one, And it's on PlayStation Plus. It just came back to Game Pass actually as well. Because it was on Game Pass for a while, got taken off, but now it's back. So this is pure Remedy. Like if you've seen like what Alan Wake 2 looks like from any previews or any trailers or any gameplay, people reacting to it or whatever, you can tell Remedy has a style and they've now perfected that style, right? And this you can tell this was the game before Alan Wake 2. Definitely was before Alan Wake 2. And you can tell where Alan Wake 2 got its inspiration from in a way. Do you know what I mean? Obviously, it's a Remedy game, both of them, but the story in this is insane in the way they tell it. 100%.
I was going to say, like, you can actually, like, see it already in, like, Max Payne, where they talk about, like, the Valkyries and you have those nightmare sequences. Yep. That is, like, sort of the early concept of what they want to do.
Yeah.
And like, this is sort of like a full realization of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, So like I said, obviously I'd only played the Max Payne games from Remedy before this, right? I've been wanting to play Quantum Break. I've been wanting to play this and obviously Alan Wake 1 and 2. But there's one section in this game, early on in the game in Control, where you go into like a room. There's like a break room and there's a TV and you can go press play on the TV and you can watch a TV show, like a live action TV show. And that's pure Remedy. Like you can do that in Max Payne 1. Wow. But obviously in Max Payne 1, it's like still images with voices coming out of the TV and stuff like that. And I know in Alan Wake 2, it plays quite a big role, like TVs and all that stuff. And it just, and also it doesn't, it does help. It doesn't help.
Is this scary again?
There's some horror elements to it, but I wouldn't say it's scary. It's yeah.
For me, I wouldn't say it's scary, but it's very trippy.
Yeah, like, it's super trippy.
It's like very out there and trippy and sort of like visually it's, drugs. Yeah.
Yeah, like,
drugs,
like the opening cinematic. So basically, I'm not so far in the game that I know exactly what's happening yet.
Yeah, okay.
But the opening cinematic is just these beautiful sweeping shots of this empty office block, kind of not office block. It's a massive building that you go into. I think that's where the whole game takes place. I don't know. Yeah. But like, it's just these beautiful shots, like with a voiceover in the background and such a good voiceover. I think this person, she's like a live action actress. And they brought her in to play this character. Her likeness is the character, but also the voice. And she does such an amazing job in the opening voiceover. And there's like weird, it feels almost Twin Peaks vibes, like weird cutaways of like a janitor cleaning the floor. And then it cuts to like a framed photo of that janitor in the office, but it's his back's to the thing and he's sweeping, he's mopping the floor. And it's just like, what does this mean? And then you go and you eventually find that janitor and you talk to him. And
it really does feel like all of you, essence of you. Because
yeah.
It's got Max Payne.
Yeah. And then talking about Max Payne, like one of the characters in this game, I think he was the director of this institute, the Federal Bureau of Control. That's where you're in, right?
Oh.
And he's voiced by James McCaffrey, who voiced Max Payne in all three Max Payne games. He has since passed away, unfortunately. But
in peace.
Yeah, but hearing Max Payne's voice in this game, it's just like a warm, fuzzy feel because it's the same voice. He's not putting on like another voice or whatever. Yeah. It's the exact same voice.
And
he's playing like this older guy, like smoking a cigar, like in like a dimly lit office with a spotlight on him. And like just the way they tell the story. I think he worked a bit on Alan Wake 2. I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm not sure.
I think I remember. Like,
I think
I think one of the developers in Alan Wake 2, when James passed away, they like put up a photo of him on set on Alan Wake 2. Maybe he just visited the set or whatever. But yeah, man. And then just the gameplay of this as well. It's from a 2019 game, so it's 5 years old now. But if this game came out today, it would be amazing. Like, you know what I mean? It doesn't feel dated at all. It feels fluid, like I'm slowly unlocking power. So now I can do like a bit of a double jump and you jump in there and you can dodge midair kind of thing. This is where I don't know where the story is going because you just get given these powers. You don't know where this woman's coming from and they're alluding to some backstory. So I'm keen to get into it.
So even though you don't know what's happening in the story, you still feel like you're part of it though.
100%. Yeah.
Because that's the other thing. I feel like sometimes when they try to hold it out for the end, then I go,
It feels very much like you investigating it, but they make you feel like you're actually like investigating this case.
Mm. Oh man.
So like that's what invests you in, especially in the beginning.
And there's just like the one scene where quite early on in the game, you're walking down this long corridor. Corridor ends. And then in the distance, you see this like glass box with a telephone in it and the telephone's ringing and you've got to get to it.
Cool.
And then there's a light switch. You turn the light switch on and then as the light switch turns on, the whole scene changes around you. Instantly changes around you. Then you're in this motel.
But
it's still almost got the same layout of the area you were just in. So then you must investigate the motel, go back, turn the light switch on. When you do that, then you're in the telephone box because you've almost traversed that world.
Yeah.
It's just
like what's
I don't even know what I'm talking about because I don't know what's happening in the game, but it's just so nice.
I just say it because I've played but you need to discover like what's going on.
But also the gunplay is so cool. Like the gunplay, especially I'm playing it on PS5 and the gunplay with the adaptive triggers is just so like it just feels so solid. Responsive. And like also when she's running, you can feel her footsteps like in the palm of your hands almost. It's so cool. And then just the the whole environment seems like destructible as well. So you're walking through this massive office block and she's got like a melee attack, but it's almost like an air push, almost like a Kamehameha type vibe.
Nice.
And then whatever you hit with that, if it's a wall, if it's a desk, if it's a piece of paper, whatever, all it'll flies. Just go flying around. It's like, it feels cool. So it adds to the realism of like when you're fighting people in that area, like bricks are flying off the wall or like chunks of the bricks are flying off the wall, papers flying everywhere. It just feels super dynamic. And from a game made in 2019 and probably starting development in like 2013, probably, who knows? Let me see. But the fact that they got that right on the PS4 and Xbox One, basically,
yeah,
is amazing. Really, really amazing.
Honestly, it would, like, if they released it today, if it was a title that released today,
yeah,
it could be a game of the year contender.
Easily.
Really?
Yeah, it's that good. Like, it is, I feel
We did it rank then in 2019 when it came out.
I think it was nominated. It didn't win.
Hmm.
But yeah, it's, I feel like it's criminally underrated.
Yeah.
Like, people don't talk about it enough.
What did you play it on?
I played it on PS4.
Okay.
Yeah, so I just saw now.
So you also had like a different experience on Brad because you played it like...
So if I play it now, it'll be like...
Yeah.
So you probably had a better one because you got all the patches and...
You got
and the
full control also.
But there wasn't like a lot of patchwork that needed to go into it. It's a very complete game that was released.
I just saw now it was developed in 3 years, which is crazy.
That's wild.
And then just one
last... Yeah, but they also based it... They already had the other games as base.
They probably took like what Quantum Break was and like just used the source code and stepped it up. Yeah. And then what I find funny all the time when I'm scrolling through the PlayStation Store or the Xbox Store and you see the downloadable content for this game, the one thing is called Awe, but the whole cover just says Aware. You know what I mean? Because the DLC is called Awe.
I'm hearing you say O-R-E.
No, A-W-E.
I was thinking the same thing.
But then you just scroll through and then it's just the cover of this is just the word Aware.
That's fun.
It's so funny. Like whenever I scroll past, I'm like,
I hope the game is shit.
But that's included. So the PS5 version and I think the one on Game Pass now is the deluxe edition. So it comes with Aware and another DLC and the full game as well. So it's really, really cool.
That's 75% off on Steam also now.
Amazing.
If you're listening.
Go get Saido's on Steam last night and he spent all the money there.
All the money.
I spent 27 Rand.
Nice.
I almost bought Bejeweled, but it was 11 Rand. And I was like, nah.
It's like you over budget.
I was like, that 11 Rand is not...
It's a home game.
And then one small thing. So Control... If you have PS Plus, if you have Game Pass, if you have 75% off on Steam, whatever, I think it'll be a good PC game. I think that will be a lot of fun.
The investment.
Yeah.
But I think you probably need a beefy
definitely.
PC to play that.
Get it. It's flipping amazing. It's really a lot of fun. But before we move on, one thing that I just remembered now when you were talking about Steam and sales and stuff like that, Hades is now available on the Netflix App Store.
Only for Apple.
Really?
Yeah, it's not on Android.
Interesting.
Really?
But Hades is 78 Rand on Steam right now.
Yeah.
So I
wonder if it's on sale on like the Microsoft Game Store and PlayStation Store.
It should be, yeah.
I would love to get back into it again. I've got it here on my phone, but I haven't started it because I want to carry on with my progress on Xbox when I had it on Game Pass.
Is it the same? Would you have the same game then?
No, because...
But we'll carry the data. Like
In terms of like...
If I go back to it on Xbox.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, if you play it on your phone, would you play from the beginning or does it?
I would have to because it's different platforms and everything. And that's why I want, because you build up such a character and you build up such like a class of character almost.
But they do have cross saves though, don't they? They did. That was like the big last update. So, because I know like if you play on Xbox and PC and whatever, you can have the same thing.
Yeah,
so
Xbox
you might
PC,
be able to do it on your phone, but I'm not sure.
I'll see. Yeah.
Check it out.
But and the Hades 2 is now in open beta.
Yeah, I was about to
say.
And
it's $280 if you wanna buy it and play it.
Amazing.
And apparently it's really polished.
Yeah, people are like highly rating it.
It's already already close to the level that like the finished
for the silver,
first one is.
The people are saying like it's already like surpassed the first.
There's Darren Korb released a soundtrack for it like 2 days ago also. And it's quite, there's similar moments to Hades, to the first one, but there's like a new stuff that he's done also.
I might just buy it on Steam now.
I'm so excited because like just from what I've heard, it's so good. And like Hades is incredible. Saeed talks about it all the time. Hades 2, 100% deserves.
When the Switch comes back, that's one of the games I'm getting again.
Yeah.
Shadley.
My turn.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to choose a game also came out in 2019. And it is probably the most violent, non-violent game ever made. And I love this game. I love the whole story of how it's made. I just love what it's about. It's great.
Graphics, soundtrack.
Everything is amazing. Like, and that game is Untitled Goose Game.
Oh, your favorite.
You played it.
Yeah, we played it together also.
Yes, on stream.
It's a game about being annoying. That's all that you must do is just be an asshole. This is your segment. Carry on.
So to give you like the story of Untitled Goose Game, it came literally from a stock photo of a goose. Like that's where the idea. They were like,
also, this is the world version of goose, not the South African version of goose. Please carry on.
They looked at the stock photo of a goose and they went, this is the perfect protagonist for a game.
That's hilarious.
And they were like, they were inspired by Super Mario 64 and Hitman. And like, yeah, it makes complete sense because this game is about sabotaging every single person in this village.
You're actually a terrorist.
You are.
The right word to use for the goose is a terrorist.
If that goose was a person, this would have been like violent. It would be everywhere about like how controversial it is.
Our coactor. No, that's the wrong terrorist. This it's also the thing of you. Every stage is just you being the worst version
of yourself.
Yeah.
It allows you to be the worst version of yourself. And now you also might be wondering, why is it called Untitled Goose Game? So apparently it came from like a last minute decision because they wanted to prep the title for the game's festivals. And they just were like, well, yeah, we're just going to leave it at that.
It works.
And it works. I mean, the company who developed it is called House House. So it's just like
it's on brand.
Everything sure about
South African and House House.
They're Australian.
Close it's enough. Like our cousin.
Yeah.
So basically, you play as this goose in this.
I know, it's never not funny.
Not the South African goose.
Both of their games are just playing as goose.
And it's set like in this English village. And you must, you're given tasks that you need to fulfill, like have a picnic, which means stealing people's food and shit and their blankets and then just putting it somewhere and like lumming there. And
ever walked in a nice environment and had intrusive thoughts, that's what the goose is doing.
The whole game is based on like your intrusive thoughts. How much of a dick can you be? I'll give you an example. There's like one boy who's supposed to steal his glasses, but you can like absolutely terrorize this child, can tie shoelaces together so he can't chase after you to get the glasses back. You can take the glasses, put it on like this market sale thing. So now he has to pay to get his own glasses back. It's just you can be such a nerd. That's the only way I can describe it. But it's so creative.
Funny. And fun.
You know, like they don't tell you how to do things. And all you can do is like honk, flap your wings, and like grab objects.
And run fast.
Yeah. And they like, just with like simple mechanics, you can do so much. There's like different approaches to things. Like you can steal a radio, put it in like a garage, then you honk on it. The people come investigate and you lock them in the garage.
You know what it is? It's Metal Gear Solid for animals. It's the thing of you need to be like super sneaky. You need to be like very, I'll say creative with your thoughts of how you're going to distract and who's going to do that. And then also it has a two-player aspect, which is dope because it doesn't change the game.
It doesn't.
But then you're two geese.
Yeah. So you can basically like just tag deep.
I was going to say it's two geese.
You're like, okay, you do that and I do that. And then it just makes the dynamic like a lot of fun.
Is it called gaggle mode?
Unfortunately,
damn it.
It's just called play two players.
Okay.
But and then also graphics wise, they've also gone with like an interesting
style.
Which makes it timeless, which also makes it easy to play on every platform.
Yeah.
And then also it's not intimidating, so anyone can pick up and play.
Yeah.
Yes. So this one of the things I love is like you can't die and you can't fail at your task. The worst thing they can do is kind of just chase you out of an area for a bit.
That's cool.
But then you can like just run back in and go for a Zavok. It's like all they can do is slow you down. So there's no like pressure of I need to do this. I need to do this time task. It's just about like just go cause cack And like that's
see the it. Plan, make a plan, doesn't work, try it again.
Yeah. Do it, just keep doing it until...
It's a great intro game for gamers, I think.
It is. If you want to get like somebody who's not into games, into games and see the kind of person they are, then you can see the intrusive thoughts come through.
I can tell how they were inspired by Hitman if you're saying it now, like putting the radio in the garage and honking to get them in there and locking them in. That's your Hitman, actually.
Like there's like this delivery vehicle and then it's like you can get into the box and then they carry you into this restaurant and then you can go in the restaurant. They just like fuck up everybody's like day. And it's a short game. You can finish it in like an hour if you wanted to. But so it's like, it's fun. And there's so much replayability.
Even though you can finish it so quick, it's worth the buy. You don't buy it and go, oh, my money's done now.
Yeah.
You genuinely go, oh, what else is it to do? I want to play it again. Even the same task that you figured out. Because you also, every task you finish, you just barely finish.
Yeah.
So you never I nailed this one. Yeah. You go, oh, I, okay.
Or you just go like, what else can I do? How else can I like?
And there's a lot to interactive also.
Yeah, like if you can ruin basically everybody's day in that village.
Even the neighbors.
Even the neighbor. No one is safe. No one is safe. And it also like made my fear of geese so much more because I'm like, I project my own dark intrusive thoughts onto all geese now.
But actually you should though. Those are not fears. Those are real.
They will fuck you up.
Real feelings.
They will really fuck you up.
Bro, when I go walk my dog, there's geese that chill up there, up the road here. They just walk the streets like a gang. They literally just walk the streets and they're cross the road.
They fight you.
They do cross the road on the pedestrian crossing though, which I find hilarious. And then they just go chill somewhere. I walk my dog past them, the small one, and they'll fucking eat my dog if I give them the chance.
They don't give a shit, bro.
I just checked you now. It's free on PS Plus, Untitled Goose Game.
Go get it, guys.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's on Game Pass either, but...
Yeah,
are you going to get it?
Listen, I'm sold on the game, definitely. And I've always wanted to play it, but like I didn't know what the appeal was, but now I do.
No, yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
It feels like a WarioWare game.
Yeah.
That they've just extended a little more.
It's like very unhinged if you really dissect it. But you go, this is fine. This is where I can like just let go of all like my inhibitions.
That's cool.
And it's like I say, there's no pressure. There's no quests and things that you have to finish.
Yeah.
You can just have fun. And surprisingly, the game received the DICE Game of the Year award. And a Game Developer's Choice Award for Game of the Year.
Nice.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's done pretty well.
Have they done sequels?
No, they haven't done two Goose 2 game.
two Untitled, 2 Goose 2 game.
But please, guys, like, the one thing I regret is, like, I would love a physical copy of this game, but there exists no physical copy.
I thought you were going to say a physical copy of a goose, and I was like, okay.
No, bruh, we just spoke about...
Are you getting another goose in your house, isn't it?
Yeah. But, like, house, if you ever print a physical copy of the game, send it my way, please.
Organize.
I love the game.
Is it the only game you... Do you have another one?
No, that's my game for today. Like, I'll save the rest for another day. But it's a lot of fun. We must actually drink this together.
Yeah.
When we get the Switch back, we're going to get it all.
Nice.
So my show and tell this week is... it's a thing we all love, I think. It's the AWA. It's the wrestling that I went to last week.
And
guys, I will talk about this forever. I know I spoke about it all the time, but local wrestling is amazing. And it's leveled. And I think an industry that this country hasn't tapped into when it comes to sports entertainment. We don't have sports entertainment, do we?
We used to have.
They used
to be on ETV.
No, but I'm saying like besides the wrestling, what else is there that we can consider sports entertainment? Nothing else.
Nah.
So the thing of, we've all grew up with wrestling, with WWE and that phase of Bret Hitman, not that wave.
Yeah.
Then I think we all moved into the games, which is all really dope. And then ETV got AWA, which was fire when they were Good Hope Center. And now they've moved into Paro Civic Center. But I feel like maybe it's just our world, but it feels like wrestling came back. Like the wave came back now because the two of you also.
Yeah, everywhere it's in a boom again now.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if Bad Bunny's back in the mix, then you must know what that is.
Wrestling stocks are up.
Yeah, it's boosting.
So last week I went to the AWA wrestling that happens at the Paro Civic every 3 months. It's every school holidays.
Every 3 months, basically.
Yeah. It's normally like the Tuesday night, the first Tuesday night of the school holidays or the day before the public holiday. But it's so much fun. Firstly, to watch something live like that is, it's magic. It's seeing someone jump from the top rope and do a flip and you go, that flow is Paro Civic flow.
You realize that even though it is an act, they're still hurting themselves every single time.
They are putting their bodies on the line.
Like you still have to be able to do that flip. It's not
when
like,
when they hit their brow on his chest or their replay, woo, and the whole, firstly, everybody knows when you see someone hit on the chest, everybody just goes, woo. And then you see the beret print on his chest and it swells and you go, there's no way that doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Even if you learn, and because the thing is, there's conditioning that you do to learn how to take a hit. But when you see the pain, you go, that's the pain. Then it's just the life fact of being in the room and everybody's experiencing the same thing at the same time. Levels of magic. Then it's also going, everybody comes with their own character. Mm. Like everybody thinks of a style that they fit into. So they come out with their intro music. There's this one guy of my favorite, Eddie Electric. Eddie Electric. And he comes out in a Klopster outfit. Yo. And his intro song is Welcome to Cape Town. And you go, this is what local wrestling must be. Then they have a Jan Di Boere. What's it? Di Boere Diskapoor. Which is exactly what you think. He's a massive bra, but in short, cocky shorts. and he was fucking up everybody. He's one of the new guys. But it was all sorted by Sean Kuhn. The Lion of Africa Kuhn.
That's a wild title. Like,
when you see him,
it fits. When he's a Moor,
that's a slim title.
He slimmed down like from COVID time, like because he retired before COVID.
Okay,
he got
he's
taller than me, wider than me, just like built string.
Like, yeah, he was like two of Yasin's next week. Yeah, he was huge.
The man could pull a highlight.
What's still like the name, the Lion of Africa, that's a mad title to have.
So then you also see there's the different weight classes of like the, I'll say the smaller guys. Yeah, they're the ones that do the flips and the big moves. Then you get onto the heavyweights where they're the big guys. They're the slams where you see them slam and you go, oh, that's a lot of weight landing on you. That's someone falling on you. Then, so it feels like they've covered every aspect of what wrestling can be like.
Yeah.
But they've also brought the localness of it. There's a few guys from Congo, I think. Where else are they?
I think one brother's from, is it Tanzania? Zephy's from,
Hey, but the thing of like, everybody comes through and the thing about wrestling, and it's, there's a lot of people that's like skeptical about it where they're like, oh, it's an act.
Yeah.
It's a thing. But after the first 5 minutes, you see it. I've never seen a whole room buy into something within a moment of being in there. Because even with comedy, we go, it takes us maybe like 20 minutes to maybe half an hour to get people to buy into the show.
Yeah.
Then everybody's, we all know what's happening. But with the wrestling, it's the first 5 minutes where everybody goes, this is the magic. Yeah. We're all here for this. No one's questioning. This is the moment. And it's just a lot of fun. It's cheap also. I think for a good night, that's like $150 for...
If you want like the top seats.
Yeah.
Premium.
We sat front row. So Stan Mars is the MC. And then he was like, oh, and we have Cape Town's talented people here. He called out some of the radio guys. And then he called me out. And I felt like I was at the NBA sitting courtside. thanks everybody. Loving me.
But cameras
on. Yeah, it's just a dope because like I know the wrestlers now, we formed a kind of bond with them because of socials and stuff. And some of them come to my shows or so. But like you actually hate them. Like they're such good, what's it, a heel?
Yeah.
The heel where you go, I don't like this person. He's a good guy off here, but
character.
Yeah, everybody sells the character well, so they act good. It's just a great night out, and I feel like as a people, it's another local industry that we should buy into of getting out and seeing what other people are also doing.
I want to go.
We must make a move the next one. Like it's June, hey. June or July.
Yasin will be taking a slam through a table.
They've asked me many times. No, guys. But maybe
you have to be KSI.
No, I want to be the Paul Bearer. Just be like a Khaichi on the side, throw shit in the ring, fight to the people.
You need to be like KSI, take like an RKO with speed.
I really want to like interview some of them or do stuff.
The stuff is live also on YouTube, like when they do the shows live on YouTube. Cool. And then also they've upgraded in the last couple of shows where now they have like multiple angles that you can watch it from. So there's a live mixer that also happens.
That's cool.
So yeah, go find it online, go see it, but to watch it live is where the magic is, guys.
I find that like, so you've been punting this for years now.
Forever.
You
know,
like, and I've never gone. Unfortunately, I just never have been able to. But this last time, friends from school were like, Brad, we have to go to this thing. You were like, we have to go to this thing. And another friend of mine, who's like this sophisticated lawyer, he's like, we have to go. And then the next morning, he's like, that was the best fucking thing I've ever been to in my life. Like,
I cannot stress how every demographic that sits in that room connects with it instantly. Yeah. There isn't like, you watch Fast and Furious, you go, that's car brasser.
Yeah.
That's either action brasser. But there you go, everybody just goes, that's the magic. Yeah. And then also the intro music, the one guy is the judge or something like that. He's one of the new guys. His intro music. Law and Order, the remix. There was somewhere like a beat clapping in the background. But when the flute sticked it, I was genuinely like, this is my jam. Also, because Law and Order has been mooring in my house lately. So, but yeah, it's another thing. You watch it and you just buy into it. Like it's pure escapism.
Yeah.
And they are good at what they do also. Like, unmatched. Cool. So it is also a,
so it is the wrestling expert.
I'm a fan. I haven't been for a while to this show.
Yeah,
missed the last two, I think.
Yeah.
Are you even a fan if you missed two?
Life happens.
But I want to go to the next one. But I am a fan because we went once when they were performing in the parking lot of Boulder's Warehouse.
Yeah.
I remember.
That's a real fan.
I woke up at office 8 on a Saturday to go watch that, bro.
Yeah. We did have Puruvos in the parking lot and it was very lekker. Yeah. But yeah, that's my show and tell. It's the AWA. It's the African Wrestling Alliance. Go check it out on the YouTube and on the socials. It is amazing. I want more people to buy into it so that they can do it more so that I can go watch more. Also because it's 3 months between a show. So you almost like the storyline, you forget about it. So they must update every time the story happens. But yeah.
They must actually voice us. If you want us to have more wrestling content, we will tell her. We'll keep you up to date with the stories and everything.
Summer slams. So this will be the end of the season. For us now.
For the podcast.
For the podcast at least.
Yeah, we'll be taking a break, but we'll still have content like going out on our socials as per usual.
So when we come back for the next season, we want you guys to be a part of it more. We will have guests on. We also will have a WhatsApp line where you guys can send us voice notes on the episode so that we can include it so that you become part of the show as much as we are.
Also, it's going to be a real person on the other end of the on the WhatsApp line.
Yeah.
So don't send a whole lot of nonsense and stuff like that. So I'm going to have to listen to it.
So it is already
I will phone you and I will swear at you if you try nonsense.
We just sell the numbers to the telemarketers.
Yeah, so don't try nonsense.
I was going to say now, no one gave you a 10 rand at Comic-Con.
Nobody, but...
Shame on you people.
Is it Diane, if I'm not mistaken? Diane gave me Fallout stickers.
Mm.
Nice.
So that was really cool.
That was the best part.
The best.
Friends from a Fallout.
That was correct. The best part because, somebody gave me something.
Brad, you need to edit like a picture of Saeed and them with like a heart.
We also got dope sweaters from...
From Gage.
From the Kumite.
From the...
I was reading it wrong the whole time. I was like, is Kamite? No, I don't want to wear Kamite. No, it's not the kind of sweater. Kumite makes more sense.
It's from Bloodsport. That's the thing with that fight. That's a tournament, the Kumite.
Oh, yeah.
Then they all shout Kumite.
It all makes sense now.
Now it makes sense.
Isn't that also what they say in the Haka?
No.
Kumite.
No. No, that's not.
Yeah, there's a...
You should know. You did the Haka on an ad.
That's just true. Do it on that.
In this break, Yasin will be...
Perfecting
like doing more research so that he knows what these things are.
I know nothing.
But he's going to forget 100%. He doesn't respond to WhatsApps or anything.
Yeah. But we're also going to have homework now for us and for you guys that you guys can send us stuff to the WhatsApp line. Don't waste my time though. Don't. Yeah.
Send us cuck memes here. Anyway, that's the episode. I'm Yasin Bo-
Wait, are we not going to say what the homework is? So that we can do it.
So the homework, we were still figuring it out. But anyway, the homework is we will play every week. We will play one phone game, one retro game, and one modern game.
So for modern, what are we defining as modern? Like out in the last 3 to 5 years?
Like we said, it's PS3 and up.
Yeah, let's do PS3 and up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
So basically a game from every era.
Yeah,
every
week. Phone game, a game from before
the PS3,
and then
PS3,
and then send us a voice note explaining what you played and what you thought about it. Keep it short. Thank you.
2 minutes. That's all you get.
2 minutes max.
See you next season.
I'm Yasin Bonds.
Peace out.
I'm Shadley Desai.
I'm Brad.
I'm Saeed.
And this is the Coughing at the Roller podcast. Safe.
Bye.